Can I know absolute truth? Is there absolute truth? Absolute faith is required for one to own absolute truth. Concerning Abraham, the father of faith, Romans 4, 20 and 21, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Absolute truth is not of this world. It resides in heavenly places, and this truth is incontrovertible. God's truth reigns above all natural analytic thought. Jesus reassures brother Thomas in John 14, 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the truth, the absolute truth, and his name is given in Revelation 19, 13 as the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, we can and must know absolute truth if immortality in Christ Jesus is our hope. Fully persuaded are the operative words. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again? Jesus reveals this mystery to Nicodemus, a mystery kept secret since the beginning of the earth. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except that man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again means exactly what it says, born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God, this time as sons and daughters of God. You might find this hard to fathom, but you certainly and presently have the needed faith on board to participate in the greatest miracle a man can know. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. A measure is enough flour to make one loaf of bread, and that bread is Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, 33 through 35 and 47. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You are in the valley of decision. You have the needed faith. Will you act on it today? The decision you make today will define the rest of your life and dictate where you will spend eternity. You are not here at this website today as a matter of happenstance. God has brought you here directly into the valley of decision. In just a few moments, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt to a place where you will activate your faith. Today, all your sin and shame will be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You will be blood-bought. Today, all your bondages will be broken. The bigger, the better. You will be Holy Ghost-free. Today, you will be born again. Here is the prompt. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now, for today's subject, God said, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God said, Genesis 1, 29 and 30, And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God said, Exodus 12, 3 through 11. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Man said, I'll follow the science, thanks. My phone knows the way. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 1220, that will once again contend for the faith, certifying the perfect and supernatural inerrancy of God's beautiful book, the majority text, Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and to be used as a platform from which to fish for the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting. May faith and truth be multiplied unto you. When one starts upside down, one should not expect to end right side up. The foundation to eternal life is faith in God's Christ, whose name is the Word of God, Revelations 19:13. Y-chromosome Adam and mtDNA Eve were created to be immortal and lived in paradise. Their faith in God's Word made their marvelous condition possible. Once unbelief in God's word entered, when Grandmother Eve believed Satan's words over God's, all was lost. Through unbelief, Adam and Eve were, and all their progeny, which includes you and me, were placed in a terrible and very deadly state. However, we don't have to remain in this dreadful condition. Immortality and paradise are restored by casting off unbelief and putting on faith in God's word that resides in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Uniformitarianism is foundational to the theory of evolution, and it is built on the spirit of unbelief. The assumption of a 13.8 billion-year-old universe is built on a theory of geological uniformity that basically states that the present is the key to the past, and that Earth's geological history has proceeded at an even and uniform rate through the many eons of time. However, two major global events took place in the past that not even the most ardent evolutionists would call uniform. Number one, when one approaches the facts in unbelief versus faith in God's word, the conclusions one receives will be 180 degrees out. For example, let's say a uniformitarian happened upon Adam just 15 minutes after God had formed him out of dirt and breathed the breath of life up his nostrils. The uniformitarian would assume eons of time had passed since Adam's evolutionary beginning, when in reality, Adam was only 15 minutes old. If the uniformitarian had come upon the earth minutes after the sixth day of creation, he would assume billions of years of evolution had occurred, when in reality, the earth, its universe, and all the life forms within were created in the past 6 days. The conclusions one comes to when unbelief is in charge are the very opposite of the conclusion one comes to when faith rules. Does the Bible believer have proofs that creation actually occurred, just as the scriptures record? A host of non-biblical societal records say yes. Over 100 scientific measurements testify to a very young Earth. Until the 1960s, evolutionists claimed that the Earth had no beginning. But in the last 60 years, they've had to update their unbelief and declare, yes, the Earth had a beginning. Of primary importance to God's creation was the creation of Adam and Eve. Biologists have established that all living humans, all of them, every single one, are the offspring of one common father they call Y chromosome Adam, and one common mother they call mtDNA Eve. The eye-opening God Said, Man Said series, The 6000s, takes a thorough and in-depth dive into a plethora of scientific disciplines and discoveries that certify a very young Earth. Scientific notables who believed in God's creation and a young Earth include a very long list of the fathers of various scientific disciplines, and of course, such heavy hitters as Moses, the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself, by whom God created all things. Can the born again prove creation? Yes, of course, beyond any reasonable doubt. It is surely infinitely more reasonable than the notion that you and me, the Earth and its universe, and all the wondrous life forms therein are the result of a fortuitous big bang out of nothing, and now, poof, our first cousin is a mushroom, our second cousin a banana, and our father a monkey? No, that's not reasonable. Number two, the most ardent evolutionist would not call Noah, his ark, and a globally devastating flood a uniform geological event. Yet over 500 ancient, non-biblical accounts say yes. There are marine fossils on the peaks of all the world's mountains. Three-quarters of the Earth is covered in flood strata, and the vast majority of the Earth's fossils were created as a result of water action. God Said, Man Said has published a monumental stack of pages concerning Noah and the world-destroying global flood. Those who want the latest scientific confirmations can find it in the Noah series. If there was creation just over 6,000 years ago and a global flood nearly 4,400 years ago, and there were, then uniformitarianism and evolution are proved false, and they are. The doctrine of mushroom demand is false. Today's feature is about diet. The Word of God spends considerable time on this subject. We are instructed in what is edible, how to prepare it, how to eat it, and how to sanctify it. Of course, as you should expect, the great geniuses of this world have a better idea. The cover of the July-August 2024 issue of Scientific American headlines with "The New Science of Health and Appetite." The subhead reads, "What Humans Really Evolved to Eat and How Food Affects Our Health Today." 22 pages of that issue address food. In the crosshairs of Scientific American author Kate Wong are the luminaries of the carnivorous diet movement that has gained serious traction globally. The proper food balance is clearly defined in the Word of God, but both of the groups in this story start the discussion upside down. Their starting point is not Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Their starting point is the Big Bang and uniformitarianism, and as a result, don't expect a perfect conclusion. The following excerpts will give you the gist of the contention between the two groups. Paul Saladino is stripped to the waist, biceps bulging as he works a butcher saw back and forth across the cow femur. When he finally severs the bone, a crowd of onlookers erupt in cheers. Flashing a smile, he checks to make sure he's being filmed, then scoops a spoonful of marrow from the center of one piece of bone. He then deposits into the mouth of an eager young woman like a priest giving communion. Saladino, a medical doctor, is a popular proponent of an animal-based diet that exalts meat and organs and demonizes vegetables. Through videos like this one on TikTok, as well as the podcast he hosts, He preaches the value of eating beef and liver, marrow, and testicles to millions of followers on social media. He is the author of the 2020 book, The Carnivore Code, and companion cookbook. He founded the company Heart and Soul, which sells organs-based supplements, and co-founded Lineage Provisions, which sells protein powder and meat sticks. Saladino contends that the traditional food pyramid, with its broad base of plant foods that narrows into animal foods, is upside down, and that the medical establishment's view that high cholesterol causes heart disease is wrong. He says that meat and organs are the key to health, strength, and vitality. Some advocates, Saladino and celebrity adventurer Bear Grylls among them, allow for a limited amount of fruit but discourage vegetables, which they contend are loaded with defensive chemicals that are toxic to humans. Others, such as Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson and his podcast host daughter, Michaela, champion a diet of beef, salt, and water alone. Many, like social media personalities Brian Johnson and a.k.a. Liver King, they recommend consuming animal products, including dairy and eggs raw. Meatfluencers, as they are known, often characterize their regimens as ancestral, made up of the foods our ancient predecessors ate. If this is what our ancestors ate, they argue, then this is what the human body is supposed to consume. If you align your diet and lifestyle with millions of years of human and hominid evolution, Saladino says in another TikTok appearance, that is how humans thrive. Studies of the remains of our forebears, as well as observations of living primates and modern-day hunter-gatherers, refute the idea that humans evolved to subsist primarily on animals. Meat did play a significant role in our evolution, yet that doesn't mean we're meant to eat like lions. Real ancestral human diets are difficult to reconstruct precisely, but they were vastly more varied than the mostly meat diets of carnivores, a finding that has important implications for what people today should eat to be healthy. Let's start at the beginning. Humans, monkeys, and apes make up a subset of primates known as the higher primates, which evolved to eat fruit. The hominid lineage, Homo sapiens, and its extinct relatives, including Ardipithecus and Australopithecus and others, dates to roughly 6 million to 7 million years ago. Fossils of the earliest known hominids indicate that they walked upright on two legs but still spent a lot of time in the trees. They don't appear to have made stone tools and probably subsisted on a diet similar to that of chimpanzees and bonobos, our closest living relatives, which is to say mostly fruits, nuts, seeds, roots, flowers, and leaves, along with insects and occasionally a small mammal. For the entire first half of our known history, hominids seem to have maintained their plant-based diet. They left no material trace of meat eating. It's not until nearly 3 million years after our lineage got its start that there's any evidence that they exploited large animals for food. We are not pure carnivores. We never were, says paleoanthropologist and evolutionary biologist Peter Unger of the University of Arkansas. Our teeth are not designed for meat eating. That doesn't mean we can't survive on animal tissues, he notes. Cutting and cooking both make meat easier for us to consume. But nobody who's chewed on beef jerky long enough to know that our teeth really aren't designed for that, or for that matter, raw steak. Proponents of animal-based diets are fond of pointing to the Hadza, a group of foragers in northern Tanzania, to make their case for going hard on meat. Saladino and Liver King name-check them regularly in their social media videos. I can tell you very clearly that the Hadza don't give a S about vegetables. They don't really eat vegetables, says Saladino, who once visited the Hadza, on an excursion set up for tourists. Anthropologists who have lived with the Hadza and studied their diet for years would disagree. Herman Ponzer of Duke University notes that for decades, researchers have observed that plant foods made up at least 50% of the Hadza diet. The Hadza are not unique in this regard. Hunter-gatherers around the world get roughly half their calories from plant foods and half from animal foods on average. But that average obscures the real value of the hunting and gathering strategy, which it allows people to subsist on a wide variety of diets depending on what's available in their environment at a given time or year. Long-term studies of the Hadza show that some months, they may get most of their calories from honey. Other months, they may eat mostly plant foods, including root vegetables. There are times they hardly eat any meat at all. So what is a person looking to eat healthy supposed to do? I think what it says is you should feel liberated to try a bunch of different diets and find one that works for you, Ponzer says. But when somebody tells you that there's only one way to eat, they are wrong and you can stop listening, end of quote. The first sentence of the last paragraph quoted asks, so what is a person looking to eat healthy supposed to do? Why, the child like have the answer. Why not follow the owner's manual, the word of God, the word of our maker? One thing the anthropologist got right is that we didn't start out as carnivores. Genesis tells us exactly how we began, Genesis 1:29-30. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Adam and Eve would have been genius upon genius, and they were not slump-shouldered, ignorant, grunting, hunter-gatherers, hiding in caves and clubbing any creature that came into range. No, these geniuses lived in a garden paradise where they would simply pick nature's perfect fruit and sit right down to dine. We did not start out as carnivores. In the beginning, man and all animal kind ate fruits, vegetables, and herbs. When you understand that fact, it makes the following discovery especially exciting. Paleontologist Greg Buckley and his colleagues at Roosevelt University in Illinois recently unearthed quite a discovery. The discovery was a very ancient crocodile fossil, which has the world of paleontology scratching its head because, as revealed by its dental structure, this crocodile was a vegetarian. Could it be that Mr. Buckley and his friends unearthed the world's very first crocodile, or at least one of the first, created by the hand of God during the 6 days of creation? Yes, all creatures, from man to lion to the crocodile, were all once vegetarian. It must be noted that some of the world's most powerful creatures are vegetarians, the elephant, the ox, the horse, and more. But unfortunately, something very traumatic happened to man and his earth. Unbelief entered, and the law of sin and death began its reign, a law science calls the second law of thermodynamics. As a result of the law of sin and death, animals entered the human diet, and detailed instructions were given by God to protect mankind from hidden dangers. I can think of three biblical meals that depict a God-prescribed diet. One. When God appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, Abraham convinced him and his companions to eat a meal and rest a while. The account is recorded in Genesis 18:1-8. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. The meal included bread cakes, beef, butter, and milk. Number 2. Today, much of the world, and in particular the United States, is dealing with obesity. The diet industry is bustling. Various Bible diets are alluded to scripturally, but one in particular, was given to the Israelites during their arduous 40-year trek through the wilderness. A staple of that diet was was manna, also known as the bread of heaven. It should be understood that this manna was a superior product, but God compares it to bread. King David in the book of Psalms 18:28 said, "For thou wilt light my candle, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." God's word is a lamp unto our feet, and those who reject it are so woefully lost. I know of no subject that God's word does not address. Can you imagine that even the perfect diet is prescribed for the active daily life? God said, Exodus 16, verse 8, "And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Every morning except on the Sabbath, God rained down bread from heaven that the Israelites called manna. He instructed them to eat it to the full in the morning. By the time the sun waxed hot, all that had not been gathered melted. Each man was directed to gather one omer, which is equivalent to 2.08 quarts. They were to eat what God called bread, or the corn of heaven, until they were full, and the eating was to be done in the morning. So Israel started with a breakfast very high in carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are major energy sources. This was the energy necessary to sustain a highly active day. Many sportsmen will eat a high-carbohydrate meal prior to competition to supply the high energy level needed to perform. In the evening, the children of Israel were given flesh to eat, a major source of protein. The flesh they ate was wild quail. This high-protein meat would supply the necessary ingredients to rebuild the body during a restful night of sleep. This was God's perfect diet for a high-demand lifestyle. Other staples in this diet would have included olive oil, honey, and plenty of water, etc. R. Fagan, one of the authors of Natural Hormonal Enhancement, had some instructions concerning the intake of carbohydrates. One thing to remember is that carbs are converted into sugar in your system, which makes it a high energy source. Fagan said that when eating a high carbohydrate meal for optimum benefit, aim for at least 70% of the carbs to be of a starchy variety, such as potatoes, pasta, rice, beans, and oatmeal, versus a sugary food. God's manna from heaven was a bread which by name would be a starchy carb, and which the Bible said had the taste of fresh oil, Numbers 11, verse 8. The Israelites ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, and made it into cakes. Note that God's AM meal was carbohydrates. In the evening, God sent fowl to their evening meal, their main source of protein. Protein is the main ingredient in the building material that makes up the cells of our body, which includes the genes, the brain, the immune system, and enzymes that catalyze every bodily function. The protein that the Hebrew children ate in the evening went to work rebuilding their depleted bodies while they slept. It must be noted that God separated the eating of the carbohydrates and the eating of protein from the morning until evening. The following is again from Fagan's book. However, existing research indicates that protein and carbohydrates don't mix well. In small to moderate quantities, a mixed protein-carb meal does not pose problems for most people. In large quantities, though, carbs plus protein can impede digestion and elimination and cause gastrointestinal distress, end of quote. Remember, God's direction was to eat carbohydrates to the full in the morning and flesh in the evening. Incorrect food combinations can cause physical problems, and in Israel's diet, God gave instructions in this regard. The special diet given to Israel was how the children of Israel ate while traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. End of quote. Number three, the menu of all menus, the meal of all meals, would certainly be the Jewish Passover dinner. Jesus Christ was crucified on the Passover, and the Last Supper was the Passover dinner. God commands the Passover in Exodus 12, 1 through 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Regarding the Last Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 22:7-11 writes, Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? What is the menu at a Passover Seder? The first night of Passover begins with a commemorative dinner called a Seder, and a retelling of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. According to FoodNetwork.com, a Seder plate looked like this. Fundamental to the Seder table is the Seder plate, which has the following items. Zeroa, a lamb's shank bone, symbolizing the ancient Passover sacrifice. Number 2, Beza, a roasted egg, symbolizing the temple sacrifice and the continuing cycle of life. A Harozet, a paste of fruit and nuts, symbolizing the mortar used to build the pyramid of the pharaohs. Number 4, Maru, a bitter herb like horseradish to represent the bitterness of slavery. Number 5, Kopis, a green vegetable, usually parsley, representing spring. And number 6, a bowl of salt water to tip the kopis, symbolizing the slave's tears. Some traditions include kaza, a second bitter herb, usually the roots of romaine lettuce. Also necessary are 3 matzos, unleavened bread, symbolizing the haste of the flight from Egypt. There was no time for the bread to rise, either wrapped in cloth or covered and broken and eaten at set points throughout the evening. The actual Seder meal is also quite variable. Traditions among Ashkenazi Jews generally include gefilte fish, poached fish dumplings, matzo ball soup, brisket of roast chicken, potato kugel, somewhat like a casserole, and zimis, a stew of carrots and prunes, sometimes including potatoes or sweet potatoes, end of quote. When you begin upside down, don't expect to end right side up. Man's exalted food science has gotten it wrong, and at very deadly cost to mankind, I might add, every time they attempt to contradict the dictums of God's beautiful book. They have been forced to vacate their original truths regarding God's highly endorsed foods and practices. Example, full-fat milk, butter, eggs, full-fat dairy products, baby formula versus the mother's breast, salt, olive oil, raw honey, clean versus unclean creatures, meats purge the blood, giving the land its Sabbath, and so many others that we wouldn't have time to list. If I really want my body to thrive, I should use God's cookbook. Everything I need to know is recorded in my owner's manual, God's Majority Text Holy Bible. You are what you eat, so make it count. God said, Proverbs 30:6, Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. God said, Genesis 1:29-30, And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." God said, Exodus 12:3-11, "Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Man said, "I follow the science, thanks. My phone knows the way." Now you have the record.